Hello, thank you so much for being here to learn about Bitachon today. And today is the 9th of Cheshvan, Tavshin Pei Dalet. It should be October 24th, 2023. And we're continuing to be inspired by the Chofetz Chaim as he tells us about davening and then davening again and then davening again. And he is discussing the predicament, the crisis of a prisoner of war, Chas V'Shalom. I wanted to start off, though, with something that I read in a sefer by Reb Zelig Pliskin. There's a wonderful sefer called Love Your Neighbor. And in there, he mentions the mila, the advantage of having a pleasant expression on our faces. And the way he talks about it is in relation to where it says in Parshas Naso, et Birkas Kohanim, Yo'er Hashem Panav Elecha Vichunecha. Hashem should give you a bright face. He should light up his countenance to you and give you favor. We know that the Torah tells us, V'halachta b'drachav, you're supposed to walk in the ways of Hashem. You're supposed to emulate. We have to go ahead and imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attributes. So he presents us with this question, how do we emulate that midah of Hashem, where the Kohanim give a bracha to Klal Yisrael, that Hashem should enlighten his face to you and look at you, Kaviyachol, in a friendly, warm, merciful way? How do we do that? That's correct. By showing such a countenance and a presence to our fellow people. And in doing so, we are emulating Hashem's midos. Remember, we learned a couple weeks ago, the Chofetz Chaim al HaTorah quoted that if we arouse Hashem through our actions, through rachamim, that's how we are zochet to a tremendous amount of mercy and compassion and chesed from Hashem, with chesed, to be proactive in chesed. So here's another example. I would think that most of us would prefer to be greeted with a smile by someone else. That is a huge chesed. We're definitely mekayim v'ahav t'lerecha kamocha by greeting somebody with a smile. And the story is told, and I'm reading it to you directly from the sefer called Love Your Neighbor, written by Rav Zelig Pliskin, Shlita. The sons of Rabbi Avraham Grudzinski wrote, and he was one of the Gedolim, as we know, that their father worked for 2 years. He worked for 2 years on acquiring a pleasant facial expression. Now let's analyze that part of the story. How does a person work on acquiring a pleasant facial expression? The only way to do it is to practice, I would think, just like anything else. And that's why we've talked already in the past several times about being in the habit of smiling, whether we feel the smile or not. We should try to have a smile on our faces as much as we can. And we might say, well, that's phony. That's really not sincere. Come on, that's hypocritical. You're not really happy, are you? Well, we already know from many sources, remember the Sefer HaChinuch in Parshas Bo, says, a person is formed according to his actions. Maybe if my heart is not in it, but I kind of force a smile on my face, we're not always able to do this. And what about the Mesillas Yesharim, who says, chitzonios ma'oreros panimios, that our outside actions arouse what's inside us. And that is much more in our control. From the outside in is much more in human control, rather than starting from the inside and cultivating the proper thoughts and attitude, and then coming from that to the proper actions. It's much easier to get in the habits that are proper for Avodas Hashem. And here's an example. The habit of keeping a smile, or at least a friendly type of attitude with our personality on our faces, that's going to cultivate inner thoughts of positivity. And you can Google it. You look on the computer, you'll see that there are so many studies that say that people who smile literally can live longer and be healed from illnesses. I think the proofs are abundant, and you know about them already. So here we have this story that it says, Rav Avram Grudzinski worked for 2 years on acquiring a pleasant facial expression. By the way, the reason I'm talking about this is because there are many people walking around who don't know what to feel, or they're downright just depressed and anxious. Listen to how this story fans out. This became so ingrained in his character, and he was one of the Gedolim, one of the Tzaddikim, that even during the darkest and gloomiest days of the Second World War, when he and his family were incarcerated in the ghetto of Slobodka, and their lives were in constant danger, his outward expression was always cheerful. So this remarkable, incredible story is another example of Adam Nifak Fipulosov, of the importance of embracing and espousing a positive attitude the best we can. It's one of my favorite stories. It is also known about Rav Mordechai Schwab Zatzal, and maybe we'll talk more about him, and we have in the past, and I had the zechus to be around him many times and for extended times. And he was known as the Sefer Panim Yafos, and it is also well known that his life was not smooth at all, and he also worked on this midah. This is very appropriate at this moment where many people are uncertain what to feel or they're not able to smile. We're learning here that we really kind of need to go ahead and take on this attitude of positivity. And we also are aware that tefillah can actually change things for the better. And that is the topic we're learning about now, how relevant it is to be tachon, because it is our assurance. Hashem is always effecting and causing renewal in the world. And as we know, and I mentioned it last week, but I would like to read it inside to you. In Parshas Toldos, several weeks from now, Amir Tashem, we know that Yitzchok and Rivka were childless, just like the Avos in general, the Imahos. And it says that Yitzchok and Rivka davened to Hashem. And last time I mentioned the Lashon that the Torah uses, it says in Parshas Toldos, Perek Chaf Hei, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayetar Yitzchok LaHashem. Yitzchok davened, but this is an unusual Lashon. Rashi says he persuaded, he begged, he petitioned. But the Gemara tells us, Omer Rabbi Yitzchok, Lama Nimshala Tefilasam Shel Tzadikim LaEser. Why is the prayer of Tzadikim compared to an Eser? Now, what is this thing, Ayin Tav Resh? What kind of tool is it? As Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein explains, Lama Hotzi Akasuv Inyan HaTfila Kan Balashan Eser. This davening, why does it express it in the language of an Eser? And he says, an Eser who kli ke'en rachas. It's a tool like a winnowing fork or a pitchfork. Hamahapich esatvua begorin, which turns over the grain in the threshing floor or the granary. So the tefillah of tzaddikim is compared to a pitchfork or a winnowing fork. And yes, I did mention it last week, but I decided to do it more slowly and in more depth for a few moments here. So what does the Gemara say? Why does it say it in that lashon? Lomar lecha, to tell you, ma eser zeh, just like this winnowing fork, this pitchfork, ma hapech es hatavua, it turns over the produce, the grain, mimakom lemakom, from place to place, kach tefilasam shel tzadikim. Similarly, the prayers of tzadikim, of righteous people, and we can make ourselves righteous any second, it turns over Hashem's traits, Hashem's treatment of us, from the trait of anger, kaviyochol, to the trait, to the midah, to the treatment of compassion. Gemara Yevamos, and it's other places too. What's really happening here? It says that the tefillah of tzaddikim can change everything, even in a second. And we also learned about a year ago, in one moment, a person could be like a tzaddik. Hirhurei tshuva. To think tshuva for a moment makes a person as a tzaddik at that moment. So we can actually, we're all eligible. Even if I know that I'm not a tzaddik, I am eligible for tzidkus. At any given moment, I think about tshuva. I think about my desire to improve. I can also be in this league. As Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein explains, what is midas ragzanus? Ragzanus, what's rogan? It says that the tefillah of tzaddikim is compared to an eser. It's this pitchfork type of tool, a winnowing fork type of tool, and you can turn grain and produce over with it. But what mida are we trying to overturn? What is it that we're trying to change that's happening to us? Nira dehu kinoi lishinoi hateva. Rav Baruch Epstein says, it's a nickname, it's a way to explain the change of nature. Sheshina HaKadosh Baruch Hu beYitzchok veRivka. That Hashem changed the nature in Yitzchok and Rivka. What's going on? It is the teva, it's the nature of human beings in general. that they're able to have children. If they were not able to, that, in this case, is called the Shinoi Teva. Shohayu mitivam akurim. He made their nature that they were not able to have children. They were barren. They were childless. Ve'enam ru'uyim laholit. They're not able to have any children. That is called ragzanus. It's a lashon of anger, but more than anger. Not exactly. It's more like aggravation and tension, conflict. What are we trying to change in order to elicit compassion and kindness from Hashem? We're trying to transform, to overturn the trait of ragzanus, which the Torah Tumim explains is a shinoi teva. When things have been changed from the way they should be in a favorable way toward us, and now things are unfavorable, chas v'shalom, we have the ability to overturn, to reverse that entire situation. B'davar shinoi teva, ein osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol baratzon. Rav Baruch Hanavi Eftin explains, when Hashem changes nature, He changes a situation that causes a person to be in crisis, to have a predicament, to be in a dilemma and a tough situation, that is not the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will that we look at that situation and do something about it. Not that it should remain that way. He wants to hear us. He wants us to daven. And that's what the Eser does. The pitchfork turns over that grain. It turns the situation over. It transforms it into rachamim. And we're all able to do that with davening. And that's what it means. Vayeaser lo Hashem. That's also the response to Vayetar, where Hashem went ahead and said, oh, that tefillah is a worthy tefillah, and I will hearken to it and actually change back to things the way they're supposed to be for you. So the Chofetz Chaim used that lashon, and that's why I got into the discussion of the Eser, of that lashon of tefillah, the Gemara says, because the Chofetz Chaim, and we're on the last segment of the Bitachon section of Machne Yisrael, which was written for the soldiers. So the Chofetz Chaim writes, Vafilu imhe'etir la'Hashem, even if the person did what Yitzchok and Rivka did, the person supplicated, the person petitioned, and begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hirbal hispalel. Daven so much, so many times, so many days, weeks, months, below Nena, and the person wasn't answered. Afal pichein. Even so. Now, what would be the intuition of many people at that point? You know what they would say? Well, geht nicht, it is not working. It's not going anywhere. So the human nature is to give up, to throw in the towel because of lack of patience. And yush, remember we learned about yush last time? That's despair. So it says the Heilige Chofetz Chaim, even if we dive in repeatedly, many days, many times, we lost count how many times we daven for this. Afa pichein, ya'ametz libo. The person should make himself courageous. Lach zor lehispalel. To go back and daven. That's right. Again, daven. Not every second. He's not trying to tell us daven all day for every second. We know that's not true. At the time that it's there, that to daven, this is where we're supposed to be davening again. And not say, well, I didn't get my answer, so why should I daven? No, that's not correct. That's not what Hashem's interested in. He's interested in, we should continue. L'achzor l'yispalel, u'bevadai yavo shah sheyamale bakashaso. U'bevadai, undefinitely, the time will come, asserts the Chofetz Chaim, sheyamale bakashaso, that Hashem will fulfill the person's request. Worthy requests are fulfilled. They might take what we consider a long time, but with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is just an instant. Like it's found in the Medrash Rabbah Ves Hanan Ala Pasik, that talks about Moshe Rabbeinu davening. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 tefilos, Gematria Ves Hanan. By the way, that's also the Gematria of the word tefila. What do you think about that? I'll show you. Tuf is 400. Fe is 80. That's 480. Lamed, that's another 30. That's 510. And then there's a hey at the end. That's 515. Tefillah. By definition, it's the actual gematria of the word tefillah. The actual essence of the word tefillah. The actual personality. of tefillah. What is tefillah about? Ba'eschanan, 515. I supplicated, Moshe said. Now, Moshe had a special situation. I know it's bothering you. I was once saying a Shabbat Shuvah drasha, and somebody raised his hand and said, well, Moshe davened and Hashem didn't say yes, that he can go into Eretz Yisrael. We know there are many answers to this. To make a long story short, once Tisha B'Av happened in the Midbar, there was a decree that on that night, something would have to be negative for Klal Yisrael, Lo Aleinu. Either Bnei Yisrael or the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. Well, if Moshe would go in and build the Beis HaMikdash, the Aruch Chaim says, look in Parshas Devarim, when Moshe, he recounts the Maisa Meraglim. So there he says, Gam bihi sanaf Hashem lemanchem ba'avurchem. Hashem got angry at me biglalchem. That's the lashon. I don't have it in front of me. But Hashem got angry at me because of you. On that pasuk, you look in Parshas Veschanan. Sorry, it's in Parshas Devarim. Sorry. Let me be honest with you. I'm not in my regular place, so my head is also not in my regular place. But we're going to make sense out of this, folks. Moshe Rabbeinu in Devarim, when he recounts the Maisa HaMeraglim, tells Klal Yisrael that I couldn't go in on a technicality. That's how the Aruch Chaim explains it. What was the technicality? When I go in and I build the Beis HaMikdash, let's be honest about it. It will be indestructible. Well, that would mean when something has to give on Tisha B'Av, that would be the Bnei Yisrael instead of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, I am not going into Eretz Yisrael, so I do not build the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore it will be able to be destroyed, and therefore Klal Yisrael will not be destroyed. So Moshe not going in, that's actually Midas HaRachamim to the whole Klal Yisrael. We say to ourselves, he davened 515 times, Va'eschanan el Hashem. Why does Hashem not answer him? That's because it's Midas HaRachamim not to answer him. That is the continuance, the endurance of Klal Yisrael. So when we get an answer that's not the answer we're looking for, there's a big picture. We are not privy to it. Only Hashem knows this. And as the Chafetz Chaim quotes, Amir Rabbanan, so the Chachamim said the following, Yesh tefillah shenenes la'arboyim yom. Sometimes a tefillah is answered after 40 days. Now, if you look in this Medrash Rabbah inside, you will see that there's a discussion in the Mefarshim. What's going on here? One pshat is that, because this is about Moshe Rabbeinu, he davened for 40 days, the second set of 40 days in Har Sinai, which is to get Klal Yisrael out of the hot water after they did the Egel. That means for 40 days straight he needed to daven in order for it to be effective. And yes, when he came up again and got the second Luchos and finally came down after the third set of 40 days, it was Yom Kippur and the full Kapara was there. That was a lengthy process of tefillah, folks. Look how Moshe Rabbeinu was invested in tefillah. He was so invested in Klal Yisrael's endurance and their survival that he was there three sets of 40 days. The second and the third set were not planned. He came down with the Luchos, and that was Yudvayin Tammuz, and broke them. That wasn't supposed to happen originally. The second and the third set all had to do with the Cheda Egel. Moshe Rabbeinu really was invested in tefillah. The second set of 40 days, to daven for us. The third set, to relearn the Torah, to get the second Luchos written on, and to bring them down. Yesh tefillah, Shenenes la'arboyim yom, 40 days. The greatest human being you can imagine needs to daven for 40 days for it to work. The yesh tefillah shenenes the gimel, sometimes 3 days. And by the way, it's possible that it also can mean a person davens on Monday and it gets answered 3 days later. It's not necessarily he's davening for the same thing all 3 days. Look in Mefarshim on this Medrash Rabbah, which is in Parshas Veschanan. V'yesh liyom echad. Sometimes it's the same day. It answered one day. V'yesh shenena la'ona. Sometimes it's, now an ona is a time period. It could mean within its same time period, which halachically, legally, often means within 12 hours. That means the variety is no end to it. The possibilities are endless when we are going to be answered for our davening. I do want to remind myself and everybody what it says in Parshas Bishalach. Remember when the Bnei Yisrael were standing by the Yamsuf and they felt that the end was near, Chas V'Shalom. They were cornered by Paro's army, the Yamsuf, and they were screaming out. And Hashem said to Moshe, Ma titzak elai? What is this that you're screaming out to me? Daber el Bnei Yisrael v'iso. Speak to the Bnei Yisrael and they should travel into the Yamsuf. You know the Baal Turim there where mentioning it unofficially now, but Amir Tashem and Billy Netter will probably do it again probably inside later. But what is Ma Titzak Eli? Ma Titzak Eli. What does the Baal Turim say? You remember from last time. Mem Hei Titzak Eli. Mem is 40 days. You will scream out to me. You will supplicate 40 days on Har Sinai that the Chafetz Chaim is quoting right here. The second set of 40 days. Hey, remember it's Ma is Mem Hey. So the Mem is 40 days. Then there's the Hey. What's the Hey? Five words. Where's that? Parshas Balos Chaperik Yud Beis. Remember when Miriam had Saras? What did Moshe say? Kael Na Rifa Na La. Five words. Please Hashem, heal her, please. If you hold that, then all means please, both of them, and it doesn't mean now. It's a machlokus. Could mean heal her now. The point is, what is Hashem telling Moshe? Look in the Baal Turim in Parshas Bishalach. Ma Titzak Eli. Mem. Sometimes we have to daven a long davening, like 40 days. Hey. Sometimes it has to be very brief, because that's what's appropriate. Five words. Rabbi Kibbutz Zichrono Livracha used to say that we should remind ourselves and the students, if our parents need us, we shouldn't daven a two-hour Shmoneh Esrei at that time, because that's the time to daven not that long. And then there's another type of situation. It's not the time to daven at all. That's what was happening by the Yom Suf. That's what the Baal Turim says in Bishalach. Now we have to do something. Stop davening and walk into the Yom Suf. So there's Ma Titzak Eli. There's 40 days. There's five words. There's no davening. Take a break and do Hishtadlus. You have to do your efforts, which we're going to study more in Mitzvah Hashem soon. The point is, as we said before, the possibilities are numerous. When will the answer come? When will you be answered by Hashem? So the Chazal say, there's a great variety here. Could be in a long time. It could be that I need to daven for a long time or a short time. But when I don't get the answer I want, or when I think I'm not getting an answer at all, that is no justification or reason to give up. Chafetz Chaim continues, and like it's written in the Pasuk, V'ani sefila asiyah l'cho Hashem, as for me, my tefillah to you, Hashem, David HaMelech said, Eis Ratzon, a time of goodwill. It's a favorable time to be answered. Amar Rebbe Chia Rabba, Ksiv, it's written in the Pasuk, Kaveh El Hashem, hope to Hashem, like the Lashon Tikva. Chazak, be strong, Yameitz Dibecha, your heart has to be courageous. V'kaveh el Hashem, and hope to Hashem. Look at the pasuk. We just finished saying it. Kaveh el Hashem. What does it say in the end of the pasuk? V'kaveh el Hashem. Slightly redundant, isn't it? Hope to Hashem, and hope to Hashem. Why twice? Heve mispalel, v'chozer mispalel. Be davening, and go back and daven again. Daven and daven again. V'yesh shor sheyanu l'cha. And there's a time that they will answer you, min hashamayim. Don't give up. We need to keep davening. We need to be mechazik ourselves to do that. But tefila sheyispalel al inyan zeh. The Chafetz Chaim says, the davening that we do in this manner, l'Hashem, einenu dafko b'tefila shmona esrei. It's not only in the shmona esrei. No. We can talk to Hashem anytime. At any time that he wants to, you call laha tir Hashem. The person can beg Hashem and petition and request things from Hashem. It's open doors between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The gam tefila zo einena dafka b'lashon HaKodesh. Now the next question. Does it need to be in Hebrew? No. Einena dafka b'lashon HaKodesh. It's not only in Hebrew. Ela afila b'lashon shemur gabah. Even in the tongue, the language that the person is accustomed to, minur, from his youth, any language, whatever comfortable communicating with Hashem. Acha ikur, tarach shelo yechzar bo shnei devarim. Now the last concept that he says here, as we're going to end today, we'll probably start with it next time to elaborate a little bit, but the Chafetz Chaim says there are two prerequisites for this tefillah to be effective in general. The first one, Shetiyeh me'omek halev, that it should be from the depth of the heart. It should be sincere. Velo me'asofa v'lechutz, not something just superficial. Not something that's just from the lip to the outside. And if a person is ever able to arouse himself to tears, ma tov, well, that's really ideal. We're not supposed to always be crying, but if during davening we can channel our emotions into tears, that's extremely potent. And like the Chazal said, he's quoting Gemara above Metziah. All the gates are closed at times, except for the gates of tears, that are not closed. Gemara above Metziah. And the second condition, the Chafetz Chaim says, Sheyachaven shetelech tefilaso derech Eretz Yisrael. That the person should intend that his tefillah should go the way of Eretz Yisrael, that direction, that avenue, umisham ad Yerushalayim, and from Eretz Yisrael specifically to the city of Yerushalayim, umisham the base kachay akadoshim, and from there even more specifically to the place of the Holy of Holies on the Har Abayis, where the Makam HaMikdash is, uchemosh nemar, like it says the Mikra and the Pasuk Haniska Le'el. That was mentioned above. Shehei Vesit that I brought, the Chafetz Chaim says. What did Shlomo HaMelech say? V'ispalelu Eilecha. And they will daven to you, Derech Artsam, the way of their land. Shenasata Lavosam, that you gave to their fathers. The Habayis Asher Bonisa L'Shimcha. And the house that you built for your name. V'alzem Esayim HaKasu. And on this the Pasuk concludes. V'shamata, you Hashem will hear. Hashamay Machon Shiftecha, the one that the heavens are the place of your abode, the abode of your dwelling, Kaviyacho, es tefilasam, you'll hear their davening, the Asisa Mishpatam, and you will do their judgment, and you'll listen to them. Ukashayasakane, the Chafetz Chaim says, when a person does so, Bevadai lo sashuv tefilaso reikam, his tefila will for sure not come back empty. So we just have to capture the last thought. These two conditions, it has to be from the depth of the heart, so that doesn't take that much effort if we have situations that we need to daven to Hashem for. Of course, we're usually sincere about our davening. The second one is hard to remember, though. This is the one that I grapple with. I have to remember that I'm davening, my tefillah is going from here to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to the place where the Kodesh HaKadoshim is. That sounds a little bit challenging to remember. And that's the only way it's effective? Well, chas v'shalom, we don't mean it's ineffective without that. But obviously, its effectiveness is greatly increased with that thought. I do want to mention, though, and we're going to end off with this, that there is a way that wherever a person is, the person is in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, if a person brings himself or herself to the proper frame of mind, and the person really concentrates, it's possible to sanctify ourselves with Kedusha, even if it's only temporary. And it's just from time to time when we daven, we can make ourselves like we are the Makom HaMikdash. How do I know this? The Mesillas Yesharim says it. And Amir Tashem, when we continue next time, we're going to explore that. So let it not be a source of anxiety. This is supposed to be helping us against anxiety. We shouldn't be worried if we haven't concentrated properly. We should just continue to strengthen ourselves with davening. This leads us to have bitachon, because we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening, and much more than that, he's interested, kaviyachon, in our communication with him. So not just during Shemoneh Esrei, not just in Hebrew, but at any time and in any language, Hashem should listen to all our tefillos. Mirat Hashem, next week we'll discuss the topic that the Chafetz Chaim mentioned at the end of this piece, which is how to direct our tefillos properly. Have a wonderful week. Thank you.